Yesterday, Bob said y'all were going to get a quarterback in the offseason, preferably the draft. What did you think about that?
I don't have any thoughts on that, John. I really don't. None. I'm just focused on the Colts. I think, you know, any thoughts on that or questions about that, you should direct to Bob.
Yeah, go ask the boss. Cue the meltdown in College Station in 3, 2, 1. And nice effort, Dwight Howard, proving you didn't want to be traded last night. So much to get to. It's a What Are the Odds Wednesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday.
Bold enough to improve on a 4,700-year-old tradition. Are you?
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE Factory Approved Warehouse Outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Wednesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the master. If you want to get in today, 713-780, ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you are good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jongy Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776 is your number if you want to get in. And it's a Wednesday where we do things a little bit differently. If you text or call or tweet or whatever you do, put odds on it.
At Houston Rockets. Who let the dogs out? Retweet this to help put Dwight Howard in the All-Star game.
Really?
Hashtag NBA vote, hashtag puppies. And it's a picture or it's a video of Dwight Howard with puppies.
Shame.
Wasn't he kind of a puppy last night?
I would retweet it just to show everybody how silly it looks. But I think he would get a vote if I did that.
Oh, you don't want to do that. So, what, you don't think he was better than DeMarcus Cousins last night?
Well, what do you think?
Think he deserves it more than DeMarcus? I'm asking you.
Just in general, do you think he deserves to be an All-Star this year?
Well, if you vote for him.
I'm leaning no.
If you vote for him in the All-Star game and he winds up in the Eastern Conference, does that make any difference?
I don't know.
I'm just asking.
Last night's effort was
not good.
I was thinking lackluster.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think if I were one of those guys who was demanding a trade and then came out and said everybody was lying about it, I think I'd come out with my best game of the year. I think I'd come out firing, man. I'd be like a dragon. Breathing fire, chopping people up.
Is there 4 points, though.
He did score 4 points.
4 points, 4 rebounds, too.
Yeah.
A couple assists, a couple turnovers, yeah. 5 fouls. Somebody's got to give them. and 2 of 7 from field goal. That's his field goal percentage. 0 of 1 from the line. Not great. Not the best night. This is the thing I was saying yesterday is the production that you lose from Dwight, is that impossible to make up? I mean, can Capella and...
Well, I don't think you have it on the roster as far as interior defense especially. But I'm assuming if you trade him, you're getting something back that would do that, right?
I would assume. But also, with the way this team plays, defense is never going to be a priority.
No.
It just isn't. And when you play this pace, it's just not going to be a priority. Your goal is to outscore everybody. And if you, just say, well, we're going to throw this guy in here who his main job is to play defense. It doesn't really work that way. It's not going to make you a good defensive team. Even if he was still an elite defender, which he's not, it wouldn't make you a good defensive team having one guy who tries on defense. It just doesn't work that way.
No, and especially when your star player doesn't play any defense anymore. I think if someone's willing to give you useful players for him, at this stage of his career,
better take him.
Well, yeah, because you're not gonna, he's not gonna get better from here. This is what he's gonna be, and we talked about it yesterday. If he's got attitude problems on top of it, somebody will give you something. See ya. 713-780-ESPN. Here's a what are the odds for you? I'm graduating tomorrow from college. What are the odds I land my backflip off the stage?
Oh,
That's a not wise guys, but
yeah.
Good luck with that. I'll give you a, well, trying to backflip in one of those robes. Can you imagine that?
It's not a great idea.
Yeah, I think I'm going to give you about a 30% chance of pulling it off.
I don't know what he looks like. Guy yeah. could be fat.
Well, I'm guessing if he can backflip, he's probably not fat.
We don't know that he can backflip. We know he's going to attempt a backflip.
True, but I'm assuming he's done it before if he's actually planning to do this.
I still say bad idea.
Okay. Well, if he's going to do it, we might as well bet on it. That's. I'll go no. I'll go 70% no. 703-780-ESPN, and we'll grab some phone calls next segment, but that's how What Are the Odds works. And if you come up with a really good one, you might want to save it till 6:15 because we do a little giveaway for the best of the What Are the Odds. Is that where we've got two giveaways, so I guess one. What do we give away for the best one, John? 50 cents to Quaker Steak and Lube. $50 to Quaker Steak and Lube.
Yes, sir. That's not going to last long.
50 cents will not last you long.
No.
$50 will. So that's what will happen at 6:15. So if you've got a really good one, or like a combo one, save it for 6:15 because you're going to win a $50 gift card if it's the best one. John picks, though, not us. That way you can't get mad at
yeah,
us for it.
We know we don't have time for that.
And, okay, so what the hell's going on in College Station?
Quarterback QBU, I don't know. I don't know. Is it a big deal that your three starting quarterbacks over the last 3 years have all transferred or planning on transferring? Is that good?
I would assume that.
Is that good or not good?
I think that's a fail. And okay. I would assume if Allen were transferring that was because Murray was getting the job and was staying. So now you've lost both of those guys?
Yeah. It's a mess there is what it boils down to. I don't know. I don't know what's behind it. I don't know if it's Spavital, if it's Sumlin, but clearly there's a problem, and that ship is sinking. It's sinking quickly, and I mean, you know, Aggie fan is not one to admit when things are going awry, but I don't know if you can not at this point. I mean, just look at the state of the program, and it's not good. Things are not going well.
No, and I think this is – obviously, this is a real problem moving forward because who's your quarterback now?
Well, I guess it kind of depends. The kid that filled in at the end of the year is, I guess, who will be the – he's the guy that you would expect to be the default play. But I'm still hoping that since they lost Kyle and Kyler, they have a Kyle list. Who's going to be there.
Or Kylene.
No, Kylist comes after Kyle and Kyler. Cause he's the Kylist of the three. But I don't know, man. I don't know who plays quarterback. I don't know. And we talked about this, I guess, a month or two ago when we were talking about what Sumlin's, you know, what his leash was like. And I've always kind of thought, man, you know, things aren't going as well as they were when John Football was there. And, you know, everybody got really excited. And it's kind of gone consistently downhill since then. But I still kept saying, yeah, maybe it has. And they've gotten worse every year. But, I mean, you're still winning 8-9 games. That's not the worst thing in the
world. In the SEC West, yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I feel like there's worse things than that, you know? And the problem is, though, that one season, that 11-win season where they won the Chicken Bowl, that maybe set some unrealistic expectations of what they were going to be. And I don't know that they can get there, and I don't know if that means Aggie fan is going to, you know, demand that they make a change, or if cooler heads prevail and they kind of realize that, hey, at Texas A&M, if you're winning 8 or 9 games a year, that's you're shooting under par, man. You know that you're playing better than expected, or at least what you've done over the course of history. There's a lot worse things you can do at A&M than win 9 games, And obviously, they've got to work to get back to that number. I think is that because that's to me that's the number of wins that A&M should have, 8 or 9 wins, and that should be the bar. And I just don't know. I don't know where expectation is. I don't know what happens to Kevin Sumlin going forward. But I know that there's got to be some heat right now. And you know, right after the news was announced that Kyler Murray was transferring, we get I don't know how to say this guy's Quartney Davis, who is a 4-star wide receiver from Langham Creek, who's committed to A&M. He tweeted out, this was his timeline order. Let's see how long ago this one was. 52 minutes ago, he tweeted, "Wow," then an emoji with like a frowny face, SMH, and it was the scout recruiting report that Kyler Murray intends to transfer. That was 52 minutes ago. 4 minutes later, he tweeted out, "I want to thank Texas A&M and the coaching staff for giving me the opportunity to be play for a great program and further my education. I feel like I made my decision too early. It is best that I reopen my recruitment and make sure I choose the best college for me. I'm sure the coaching staff will understand." No, they won't. "And everyone that is supporting my decision. It is not an easy decision, but I am officially decommitting from Texas A&M University. I will be taking all 5 of my official visits and will make my final decision after I take all of my visits." So now they're losing big-time recruits over this deal. I mean, the bleep is hitting the fan at College Station right now. And the swag and all that stuff, I don't know how long A&M fans are going to fall for it and just be like, "Yeah, this is really badass. We run this state," when stuff like this is happening and you're kind of middling now in the SEC West, where you thought maybe you were going to be a real contender there. It's got to be frustrating, at least.
Couple things from Twitter, and then we'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll get to your phone calls. But Just WJ, "What are the odds the show before you doesn't make it another year? It stinks." I haven't heard that show.
I haven't heard it
since Van Pelt left. Cody, who is the Texas Zombie, "I've got a title fight for CC22 Saturday. What are the odds I finish it in the first round?"
That's Cody?
Cody Owens.
Yeah, he's going to finish that in the first round. That dude's he's a monster, man. I've gotten a chance to train with that guy a couple times, and we share a coach, and he's got that one thing that I wish I had as a fighter. He doesn't care if he gets hit in the face. He doesn't care if you can hit him all you want, but he is going to hit you back. And when I do any striking, I'm very defensive oriented, and I'm trying to not absorb a bunch of damage. This dude just doesn't care. He puts his head down and he swings. And I hope he's right. I hope he gets a first round finish. I'm excited to see that.
All right, kick some ass, Cody. Nick says it's because Murray's dad wants him to play baseball and Sumlin won't let him. Boy, there's nothing better than getting a dad involved with an athlete. And if that's true, that someone won't let him play baseball, it's stupid. And then Aggie fan says Tate Martell is trying to become a 2016 commit for A&M. I thought he was a 2017 kid, but I don't follow recruiting closely enough.
I don't follow it enough either. It says he's a...
I thought he was 2017.
Yeah, I thought he was class of 20... I don't know.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know either. Caleb, what are the odds I have to burn all my A&M gear next year? You don't have to do that. And Adam, what are the odds we can get a gear list from the Blitz? Well, we kind of mentioned all the beers we like. I had a really good one today. And then finally, Lamont, what are the odds a few of last night's candidates had a pack of Marlboro Reds under the podium?
Who was that doing all that coughing?
I don't know. Who was it?
Is it Dr. Carson doing all the coughing? I don't know.
I have no idea.
The craziest thing I heard from the debates last night was Lindsey Graham, who was on the undercard debate.
I didn't watch the undercard debate.
I didn't either.
The guys who got relegated.
I just heard a clip from it, and this is how you know this guy's crazy. He says, "I wish George W. Bush was still in office." Oh, the whole room is just like, oh, what? What is going on here? Yeah, very strange. Very strange.
I
think that's why he's on the undercard.
I actually enjoyed the debate last night. I think the topic really played. They stayed on the topic well, and you got to see some different perspectives on things. Now, I don't agree with most of the stuff, but even one point when Cruz and Rubio were going after each other from totally different perspectives, they both were making great points. I was kind of I enjoyed it, I have to say. I don't think I want to vote for any of these guys, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Rand Paul's my guy, but he's not. He has no chance.
I liked him too. He had a good night last night.
Yeah, he did. I thought so.
But I'm with you. I don't think he has much of a chance.
Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday? This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
The guy's got a pair of twos, and we got a full house, and he's walking all over Obama. Mike, the surge worked. It worked. George W. Bush made mistakes, but he did adjust. I blame Obama for ISIL, not Bush. I'm tired of beating on Bush. I miss George W. Bush. I wish you were president right now. We wouldn't be in this mess.
I think a lot of people
wouldn't be in this mess if George Bush was still around, because George Bush, he wasn't about dealing with stuff like that over there.
I'm sure he misses beating on the Bush all the time. So Lamont Jeb Bush should have quit in the middle of the debate last night. There's only so many times a man should get owned.
God. I mean, his numbers are just so low that it's hard for him to really say anything that the real contenders will take seriously.
I wonder, though, if somebody passed out a memo that when referring to President Obama, you have to say this feckless leader, because I heard that word four times last night, and I don't think I've heard it four times in my lifetime. So I thought that was pretty funny. But no, I really thought that, I thought Cruz and Rubio and Paul in particular came off pretty well. Ben Carson should quit too. And
probably so.
But Bush, he looks like, he just kind of looks like your creepy uncle. Yeah, I can't. But
just can't do it.
No. But I enjoyed that one last night more than I have any of the others. ATX says Graham looked on the verge of tears. Lay off the estrogen.
Very strange dude, and like he just makes all these crazy faces the whole time.
Yeah.
Well, and they kept split screening so they could show his crazy faces when everybody else would talk. And I don't know why. Who's watching that thing? Like, who's really paying attention to the undercard debate?
Families.
I guess so. That's right?
That's like the bowl games that have Western Michigan. The only people watching it are people who are families or betting on it.
Would you donate money to a campaign where the guy was on the undercard?
No.
I mean, you're just throwing money in the trash.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. He says Jeb Bush has a Jared Fogle vibe.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Oh, man. Yeah, don't let him babysit. All right, let's grab some phone calls here on What Are the Odds Wednesday. Trevor, you get to lead it off. What is up, Trevor?
Hello?
Hey, sports.
Sports, go, man.
I got a two-part question. What are the odds Kyler Murray is going pro in baseball after this season? And what are the odds the Longhorns land Kyle Allen?
I don't know if either are great. I don't know what Kyle Allen's interested in. I'm not sure. Listen, Texas isn't exactly the place to be right now either. I know everybody around here thinks I'm some Longhorn homer, and I'm,
you know.
Let me tell you, that program, we're just starting to figure out that A&M's in total disarray. We've known that Texas is a total mess.
When you have to go beg a guy from Tulsa to be your offensive coordinator.
Yeah, listen.
How much lower can things get than that?
These guys should be looking at schools that have a chance to do something. Have their bleep together. I mean, if you're signing on with Texas right now, you don't even know who your head coach is going to be next year. I mean, I assume you know who he'll be this first year, but if you transfer, you're going to take a year off. You don't know if your coach is going to be around then. You don't know who they're going to bring in. That coach may not want Kyle Allen. I don't know.
I think what's lost in this is I'm not sure either one of these kids can play.
Yeah.
We haven't seen a whole lot out of him that...
I saw some good in Kyle Allen until Alabama and Ole Miss got a hold of him. But at the same time, Alabama and Ole Miss, they're just better teams than A&M. Like they beat Kyle Allen because they're just better than him. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I don't think that means that he sucks.
No, but I don't know that he's any good either.
I don't either. And so. You know, I haven't thought that Kyler Murray was going to be good. But
well, you're just mad because he blocked you on Twitter because you called him a munchkin.
Well, I called him that while I was saying that he wasn't going to be a good player. So it's all related.
Kind of turned out to be right.
Yeah.
Let's try Eric. What is up, Eric?
Hey, sports guys. I just wanted to weigh in on the first segment and, you know, the comments regarding the kind of the status of A&M football. First off, I want to say, you know, great show. Enjoyed and appreciate AJ's objective comments towards the state of the Longhorn program. But anyway, I think it's unfair to say that A&M's right now aren't willing to call a spade, be objective, and say that right now the program is pretty much a dumpster fire, right?
Well, it's hard to say anything different.
.com, it's pretty much an incomplete meltdown mode, as it should be. I, for one, am in agreement with AJ, being that I never thought Murray was going to be a player, have called him an Oompa Loompa. And then I think Kyle Allen did turn into somewhat of a head case. And then I do think most A&M fans collectively have realized that someone's just not the guy. Yeah, he had the swag. He put together some nice recruiting classes, but we just never really saw and carried that momentum over from the 11-win season. And then the last thing is, I still think, let's say, you know, someone somehow survives into next year, has a 7-win season, gets canned. I still think A&M's position, obviously my bias position, but I still think them having the monopoly on the SEC puts them, you know, well positioned to contend for the SEC West. You know, maybe once every 5 years. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
I don't know. And I mean, until I see them do it ever, it's hard for me to think that because, I mean, the SEC West, Auburn's jumped up every now and again, but the SEC West has mostly been the Alabama and LSU show. And Alabama and LSU are the types of programs. And so when you say that A&M has a monopoly on the SEC in Texas, I don't believe that because
go look how many
LSU comes in here and gets what they want. And Alabama comes here and gets big time players. They can do that because that's the kind of programs they are. You know, Arkansas will catch a straggler every now and then. I doubt the Mississippi schools are going to, you know, start getting a bunch of studs out of Texas. But, you know, there's program. The other programs in that SEC West are top-tier national programs. You know what I mean? Alabama and LSU are top 10 programs in the country. So kids want to go there no matter where they're from. If you think Alabama's built their empire on just kids from Alabama, you're sorely mistaken. Alabama's not the most, fertile recruiting grounds in the world. They get some players from there, but those guys are getting the best players from around the country, and that includes Texas. I don't know how long it's going to take Texas A&M. I mean, do I think that one out of every 5 years seems like a lot? Because the SEC West is one.
That's reasonable. That's a reasonable goal. Once every 5 years, have a chance to win it. I mean, I think you could make that case for really with all the teams. About every 5 years, they make a run at not necessarily winning the SEC West, but making a run at it. And, you know, I guess the only one that hasn't really is Arkansas, but they've had some good teams.
Since the SEC championship game has been happening, Arkansas has been in there a few times at least. Yeah. Mississippi State's been in there once. Ole Miss has never played for an SEC championship.
But they were in the hunt last year, though.
In the hunt, but they didn't get in the championship game.
No, but I mean, I don't know that but having a team like they did last year that was number one in the country for a while, you'll take that once every 5 years. And then you have to finish the deal. They didn't do it. But, you know, I think that's reasonable.
I guess so. I mean, you go back 10 years. And you have to go. It takes you 10 years. You have to go back to 2006 was the last time a team besides LSU, Alabama, or
Auburn
won the SEC West. I mean,
that's a trend.
It's more than a trend. I mean, those are the power programs.
Last year, Mississippi and Mississippi State both had teams that were capable. They didn't get it done.
But they just weren't better than Alabama. And that's what it boils down to. I mean, you every 5 years, you think A&M's going to be better than Alabama?
No, I'm not. I'm not asking them to be better because sooner or later, Alabama's going to have a year where they're not
right.
Alabama.
Yeah, but then you have to hope that LSU isn't the team that steps up and takes that throne. You know what I mean?
No,
and you have to hope that Auburn isn't having an up year.
It could be any of those teams, though. It usually is. But I think to expect to have a team like Ole Miss and Mississippi State had last year once every 5 years isn't too much to ask, because if you're that good, and really Ole Miss this year, they kind of threw it away. But if you're that good, you're going to be in the hunt for it. And I don't think that's too much to ask. And one of those years, you'll win those games.
I mean, remember, Texas A&M had a hard time winning the Big 12 South.
Yeah.
It was like 98 was the last time they won the Big 12 South.
I'm not asking them to win the SEC West. I'm asking them to once every 5 years to compete for the first in the SEC West.
Okay.
That's it. I think that's reasonable. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll get to more of your phone calls. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. 713-780-ESPN is your number. We'll get back to your phone calls in just a second. But right now we have Dr. Vishal Shah.
Dr. Vishal Shah from the Richmond Bone and Joint Clinic, part of the UT Physicians Group. Doc, how are you today, my friend?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
You're doing better than Andy Dalton. Tell us a little about what's going on with that thumb and what's the issue there?
Well, you know, details are limited as always. They tell us just as little as they possibly can. But what we do know is he has a fracture of the thumb. Now, that can be any one of three bones in the thumb. And the whole significant part about a fracture is a broken bone, but it can be a hairline crack or it can be a displaced bone that's unstable. And, you know, I think just from the length of time that he's going to be out and from the initial thought that he might need surgery, we can discern that it's probably not just a hairline crack. But it must be a stable fracture, and that's why it doesn't need surgery.
Now, without the surgery, what's the timeline on when he could possibly be back in action if that's on his throwing hand?
Right. That's the difficulty, is that he is a quarterback and this is his throwing hand. So he really has to use that thumb to grip the ball. It's going to take a minimum of about 4 weeks, I would guess, to get enough bony stability in that thumb, in that broken bone, to where he doesn't need a hard cast on it. So I think that's our best case scenario. But even if that happens, we're looking at probably the first week of the playoffs or so. And then if he takes a hit on that hand, or it's the bone's not completely healed, so he's at a very high risk for re-injury. So, you know, he'll have plenty of time to heal in the offseason, but it's definitely a tenuous situation. So I think we might see him back if they go deep into the playoffs, but he could easily end poorly if he gets hit again.
All right. That's Dr. Vishal Shah with the Richmond Bone and Joint Clinic. Appreciate the time, Doc. We'll talk to you again next time.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
All right.
All right. Let's try some phone calls. Hunter, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Hello, Hunter.
Sports
to you.
Sports. So I was just going to weigh in on the Aggie situation and this. Y'all were wondering about Tate Martell and how he could possibly even get there early. So I talked to some of the guys on the A&M coaching staff, who one of the strength coaches that I know. And Martell supposedly only has two classes left in high school that he actually is required to graduate. So he's trying to graduate early and is up at the A&M admissions office seeing if that would be possible. And then second, obviously this is dumpster fire is having an impact on recruiting, because Kyler Murray's tackle, who was number two offensive tackle in the nation, just so happened to decommit this morning, and this afternoon is committed to Ole Miss. Just want to get y'all's thoughts on these.
Yeah.
And if this trend continues, what are the odds someone even makes it to next season? I'll hang up and listen.
Greg Little is the guy who is going to go to Ole Miss, and what's funny about that is I just was talking about I doubt that Ole Miss and Mississippi State are going to come in and get big-time recruits.
Yeah,
I completely forgot that I read that this morning.
Boom.
That Greg Little, the top tackle in Texas, is going to Ole Miss. So, yeah, make no mistake, there's no monopoly on recruiting for Texas A&M and the SEC. That's not the case. The floodgates are opened. But Yeah, listen, Tate Martell would. I mean, it would obviously help, and he's a big time recruit. But
who knows? Who knows if he can play?
The last three guys have been big time recruits. You know, I mean, this is
Garrett Gilbert was a big time recruit. You never know. I mean, a lot of them work out, but a lot of them don't. So,
and man, you're talking about what's a kid? Is he 17? Is he 16?
I mean, he'd be 17, right?
I mean, he'd be if he were to get there a full year early. I don't know how old he is.
Well, this is coming from his official Twitter, Tate Martell. By the way, it's Tate Martell trademark. It has a TM next to his name.
Does he have a blue check?
No, he does not. But it's at the Tate Martell. He says, Texas A&M graduating early for my senior year was a brief topic, very brief topic. I'm 100% committed to my team at Gorman for next year. So he's saying that he's committed to his high school team next year. Who knows what? I mean, he could change his mind. But okay. This came about 15 minutes ago on his Twitter page.
I think he plays at the high school. I think that's the case. Bishop Gorman. I think that's the high school. That's the high school that the Fertitta brothers that own the UFC. I think their kid plays there, and they pretty much finance that high school. That's like the Oregon of high school football. They get all the fanciest uniforms and things like that. So, yeah, listen, you're talking about this is another one of those guys who is not of ideal size. He's 5'11", 180 pounds, and you're talking about a guy who is missing his senior year of high school football. I don't know that that's necessary. I mean, that to me, that sounds like a project, you know? Not like an instant fix, but at this point, you're kind of hoping that you're throwing a bunch of things against the wall and hoping something sticks.
All right, let's try Corey. What's up, Corey?
Sports
to you, Corey.
Hey, what are the odds that Texas Tech comes down here and beats LSU in the bowl game? I know they don't have a good run defense and they got to play Fournette, but just wondering what the odds are. I'll hang up and listen.
I'll go with 40%, 38%. I mean, I think they're obviously the underdogs. They got to stop that run, and they've shown that they can't. So unless they can figure something out, it's going to be a long day for them. But I'd say I think it's going to be a high-scoring, very entertaining game.
Yeah, from a betting perspective, I kind of like Tech in that game. And the reasoning being, for Tech, getting a bowl game like this, it's a decent deal for them. I don't think LSU before the season said, you know what, would love to be in the Texas Bowl. That's where we want to be. And, yeah, we've seen this before with LSU teams that kind of fall to these second and third tier bowls. They tend not to play their best. And I think with all the stuff surrounding Les Miles and everything else, I give Tech a chance there. Someone on Twitter asks, are Baylor and TCU the current kings of Texas? What are the odds of that ever happening? They're the two best teams in the biggest conference right now. But I don't think it'll last. I think at some point Texas gets its act together one way or another.
But it doesn't look like it's coming anytime soon.
Well, you saying they need a coaching change?
I think that if it's not if it doesn't look like it's on its way to being repaired by the end of next season, absolutely.
They did have a couple of decent wins. I mean, you beat OU.
And you beat Baylor.
And you beat Baylor.
But you got
Baylor
shut out by Iowa State. Yeah,
and that's a thing. And I keep going back to
and
that
you didn't
game.
Even get bowl eligible, you know?
Yeah, which that's not even – I mean, bowl eligibility should never even be in question at Texas.
It should never be.
Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday? This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Thursday is the finals for the Bud Light Fantasy Thursday game. Join Raheel and the ESPN 97.5 road crew for happy hour at Champs in Uptown Park from 5 until 7. They'll have contest entries and great prizes for you to win, courtesy of Bud Light and ESPN 97.5. Also, got to tell you about these nothing bundt cakes that they brought by. Oh, my goodness.
Talk about a diet killer.
Yeah, they're fantastic. This Christmas, make all your gift exchanges sweeter with hand-decorated bundt cakes, buntlet towers, and bite-sized buntinis by the dozen. Check out their Tis the Season bundt cake and their Holly Jolly bundt cake. The Holly Jolly is what they brought us. I got to tell you, it was fantastic. Perfect for your holiday dessert celebrations. With 40 designs and 9 classic flavors with their signature frosting, Nothing Bundt Cakes makes a great gift for any occasion. Right now, only at the Galleria Uptown location, 5000 Westheimer, and at the West U location, 5115 Buffalo Speedway, mention ESPN and you'll get a free individual bundt cake of your choice. Nothing Bundt Cakes delivers. If you order a specialty cake, Nothing Bundt Cakes can have your order ready in 30 minutes. This is perfect for last-minute office Christmas party gifts. So I don't think we're – are we having an office Christmas party, or did we already miss it?
We missed it.
Oh, we were in Vegas. Oh. I think we had more fun there.
I think so, too.
All right, let's squeeze in a couple of phone calls. T, you're on the Blitz. Go. T? Hello? Sir? Sir, please.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on.
Sports.
You're on, sir. Go.
Oh, okay. My bad, guys. Sports.
Sports to you. Sports to you.
All right. I had a quick question. Well, actually, two, man. I was trying to see, what are the odds that Peter Quinn survives the season finale of Homeland Sunday? And next, I was wondering, have you guys checked out Kingdom? If not, then you probably should because you might like it.
Okay. I haven't even started this season of Homeland.
I ejected it on Homeland after season one. I thought the season one ender was so bad that I never got – and I've had friends tell me, oh, it got better. It's like
– yeah.
But to me, it's like when you break up with somebody. When I break up with a TV show, I don't go back to it.
You don't? You didn't go back to Walking Dead?
No, I never did go back to Walking Dead. I thought about it, but no. It's kind of like, nah, when I'm done with you, I'm done with you.
Yeah.
But actually right now, the only thing, now that Fargo's over and Leftovers is over, the only thing I'm watching is Ash versus the Evil Dead, which is, if you like the Evil Dead movies, it's great.
And Kingdom is the... It's the MMA television show, which I have not even sought out, A, because it's on a network that I've never heard of.
That's not a good sign.
And B, it's about MMA, so I feel like it's going to be really awful. That's just kind of the industry standard. So, no, I have not checked it out.
Okay. Josh, you are on the Blitz.
How you guys doing?
Doing sports.
Hey, I was going to say, on the Monday night game when the Dolphins were playing against the Giants, did you guys notice how they just tried to put the Texans down by showing all the Dolphins highlights against the Texans? I mean, they showed Tannehill, Miller, Landry. They were showing backup players. And I just feel like they were trying to discredit Texans. And also, I'm going to ask you, if Texans wouldn't have lost those three games to, like, the special teams holding, like, a love letter, do you think they would be in a better standing or – would it be a good situation?
I mean, I just don't think the Texans are a very good team, period. And the reason why they showed a bunch of highlights from that game is because that game was just loaded with highlights for the Dolphins. I mean, that's where they basically got to go out there and it was like they were playing, you know, against a college team or a high school team. They were chucking the ball around. They were clowning.
Yeah, there's nothing disrespectful.
I mean, the Texans let all that happen to them.
And I'm not sure I understood his question about would they be in better shape. But almost every game they've lost, they were getting blown out. There were very few games that were close. And you know, the Colts game here was a touchdown game. The Panthers game was a touchdown game, but you know, they never really were in that. I mean, they had a chance to get the tying touchdown at the end. Chiefs blew them out. Dolphins blew them out. Falcons blew them out. Bills game wasn't close. Patriots game was certainly a blowout, so I'm not really sure I understand the question. No. Anyway. All right, one more. Tim, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Hey, guys.
Hey, sports.
Just want to ask, what's the odds that Howard will remaining with the Rockets by the end of the season? Thank you.
We talked a lot about this yesterday. I'm going to say I'll go 40%. I think he is going to be gone by the end of the season.
If somebody will give you something for him, then you do it, right? But I don't know that they will. We'll see. I say it's 50-50. I think they will move him if they can. I just don't know if they'll be able to. Okay, Mix Reviews on Kingdom says one of the Jonas Brothers plays a fighter on Kingdom, so that's all you probably need to know about the quality of that show.
Yeah.
And then 832 says it's actually a pretty good show, AJ.
Okay.
And then Justin asked, what are your thoughts on The Wire? I'm about to pull the trigger, but what are y'all's opinion? That's an all-time top three show.
It's probably my favorite show ever.
It's really, really good.
If it's not the best all-time show ever, it's in the conversation.
I think it's top three.
Yeah, there's not a show you can tell me, you can point at and say, this show is definitely better than The Wire. So, yeah, if you haven't seen it, don't hesitate, my friend.
It's
a great show.
It's in that discussion with Breaking Bad, with The Sopranos, shows that that have finished their run. So, yeah, it's definitely worth checking out. And it holds up pretty well, too. In fact, a lot of the things that were going on then have happened in real life in the news in the last couple of years. So it holds up very well. That's one that I wonder if I watched back on The Sopranos again about a year ago. I don't know if that one's going to hold up in 10 years. I don't know if that's one you're going to go back and say, oh yeah, this still makes sense. I think The Wire still will. Let's try one more. Jack, you're on the Blitz. Go, sir. Jack, be there, Jack. And Jack's gone.
Thanks, Jack.
I know he had a what are the odds question. I just don't know what it was. Oh, well. I like hearing a little Keyboard Cat. So we've had Keyboard Cat and the Shame Bell already in the first hour?
I think so.
Did we have a Shame Bell?
I think we did.
That's pretty awesome. Congratulations. Well done, listeners. All right, it is What Are the Odds Wednesday, so when you call in, first be there, and then second, put odds on it. So what are the odds that this happens again in the next hour, even though I'm asking people to actually be there?
I'll go 75%.
Really?
Yeah.
But you have no faith in people.
Of course I don't.